Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's BJ Upton from Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Did I hear that right? If you see a child in a position, basically they were saying in a locked car, mm-hmm. call 911.
Yeah.
Then it said, if you see blah, 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 you know, do whatever it all takes. I'm not calling 911.
No.
If I see a child in a car and the windows are up, I'm breaking the windows.
If the car's on?
I'm breaking the windows.
What they
the
car's on?
What constitutes a child, though? How old are we
talking? What age?
You see, like, an 8-year-old in there, you're going to break
on his tablet. He's like, playing a game. Randy brings it with his shoe.
You might be the one that can call 911 on.
An 8-year-old, I would have concerns.
Really?
Are we talking, Matt then brought up about a car running. So are we talking car running, car not running?
If the car is running with the windows up, that's fine. If the car is off with the windows down, and somebody's waiting on their parent?
Windows down, you know, I don't have as much of a problem. With windows up and the car's not running at 8 years old, I have a problem with that.
Really? 8?
Yes.
That kid can open the door and walk out.
For sure.
I would check. If I walked by and there was an 8-year-old in a car.
I mean, I grew up at a different time. My mom, my parents would have us. Oh, my parents. Like 8 or 9 years old. I'm in the car. I'm going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
30 minutes. I'm chilling in there. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm chilling. I might crack the door open a little bit.
Like, gonna break your window.
It was never a big deal. Like, I didn't think it was a big deal.
That's how the window in the limo got broken last week.
That's why I said, like, if it's a child, like an infant baby that's like in a car seat, then, okay, yeah, for sure, it'd be like, yo, hey, what's going on here?
Right.
Right? Because you shouldn't do that.
If a child is 8 years old in a car with the windows up and the car's not running in Tampa, St. Pete, on whatever today's date is, then yeah, I'm going to check on them.
Okay, well, memorize my number if you need somebody to come bail you.
Bail you out. I'm not saying that. Okay, maybe I won't break the window if they're 8, but I may, you know, tap on the window, hey, are you okay or something.
He's going to be like, ah!
Stranger danger.
Like, he's going to call 911.
Like a danger alert, like on Randy's.
Whatever.
Just trying to do good deeds, you know?
Yeah, I got to do one before I die.
Yeah, you've done a few.
Yeah, I know that.
You've done it.
All right, what's next for Israel?
A born fight.
The biggest fight of, you know, his quote-unquote, so everybody says, UFC career, you know, Alex Pereira. And I told you I have a lot to say today. I have a lot to say today.
Let me just throw this out.
Go ahead.
And then you can. So his biggest fight of his UFC career is a guy ranked 6th.
So they say.
Right. No.
Not what I say.
No, I understand that. Yeah. So what is being said, I happen to see it, and I don't know if it's the real rankings or mm-hmm. if just somebody made these rankings,
yeah.
has Alex 6th. He shouldn't even be getting the next fight.
No.
Or whoever's making these rankings should be shot. Because if you're ranked 6th, you don't deserve the next title fight.
Yeah. But he's beat everybody else.
Then they shouldn't be ranked 1.
Yeah.
That's my, you know, I don't care who he fights, but he should be fighting who's...
Covington's ranked 1, but he's not fighting for the title again.
He should.
No, we don't want to see that again.
Well, just like we don't want to see Whitaker again, but then don't rank him 1.
Yeah. But he is 1, though. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough because of the way it goes, you know, because, yeah, I understand.
And truthfully, you would rather watch Kamaru Usman fight Leon Edwards or Jorge Masvidal or anybody else than Colby Covington again?
Yeah, he's beat him. Maybe a later date? Sure. Like if they do like a Holloway thing, a year passes, a year and a half passes, and Covington is still starching everybody, and then they meet again, I'm okay with that. But I don't want you to see you fight somebody. You fought him 2 fights ago, you fight him again. It's like, what are we doing here?
I mean, I get it, but like you and I both talked about and agreed, Colby Covington is the 2nd best in that division.
For sure.
Bar none.
100%.
So, again, I would rather watch 1 fight 2, deserving or not, even though he is, than 1 versus 6.
Yeah, it's just you can't sell that to people. You know? And I understand as far as, like, the purists, like, okay, these are the 2 best, but you just can't. There's going to be no pay-per-views. There's going to be, because it's just going to be, we've heard him go through his whole rigmarole. We've heard the whole thing. It's just not going to be exciting.
I disagree. Shocking.
Yeah.
This one way. And then go ahead and vent on whatever we're venting about.
Okay.
I believe you will have more pay-per-view views, Usman versus Covington, every single time, than Usman versus anybody else. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Like I was talking to Matt about outside. Some of these fighters are loved.
Mm-hmm.
Not all are loved and hated.
Mm-hmm.
Colby Covington sells pay-per-views because people want to watch him lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that like him.
Okay.
So unless you have a guy that's heel and face, I think you're going to sell more pay-per-views.
Do you think Covington sells more pay-per-views than Masvidal?
Yeah.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
I don't think people hate, you know, Masvidal.
They do. They love Andrew. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they love Andrew.
He's just as polarizing.
He's got the star power.
He's just not polarizing.
No, he's definitely the star power.
You know more about the people who hate Covington because it's in your kind of wheelhouse and realm. His negative side, if that makes sense.
I know,
Sean. Yeah. You know, the Masvidal side, I see that. Like that aspect and the people that love and hate him for whatever reason, you know, he has that smug kind of.
No, I get
he
it.
Wears his Gucci track suits. Like, right. So like there's a lot of, you know,
don't talk about suits because I don't want to say anything negative about Usman. Did you see that thing he was wearing?
I see, but hey, you know,
come on,
that's hey, when you
oh
got
that's
money,
right, you're a designer.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I let people express themselves creatively.
Okay,
but so back to this this issue, because I do have a lot to say on it. I've been seeing all since the Izzy fight, he's the most boring champion. First of all, Marvin Vettori went on Twitter and said, oh, he's so boring and nobody wants to see this and he shouldn't be champion. Just wait till I get back in there. Marvin, we saw you twice lose and in unclosed decisions twice. And that stuff that you said was boring, you looked the same in there. You couldn't touch him. He was tagging you up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I just don't, like, for it's one thing for a fan to go talk that way. For you that were in there twice and didn't get the job done, right? You couldn't take him down the second time, for real. And you looked bad. Every other fight you fight, you look good. And you're pushing the pace. You're attacking. You get in there and you can't do anything with him. But you're like, oh, he's boring. Yeah, so were you that night. Twice.
First, I believe the boringest, if that's a word, champion of all time is GSP.
Mm-hmm.
That was boring.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily find Izzy as boring as GSP was.
Uh-huh.
And you're right, what you said earlier. It's your job, like Ric Flair said, to be the man, you have to beat the man.
Yeah. True.
Now, where I argue with fans is you don't have to dominate the champion.
No.
You just have to beat him.
Yeah.
But the fans seem to think you have to go in and totally dominate. You don't. You have to win three rounds.
Yeah.
And you have to win three rounds by one punch, by one takedown, by one something.
Yep.
And for a champion to exert what they don't need to put themselves in, it's your job to take it to Izzy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Izzy having to take it to you.
So they were talking about that. He's boring. And then now the consensus is Israel is going to lose to Alex Pereira. That is all I'm seeing. That's all I'm hearing.
That's because he's got a loss to him already in a different sport
at
a different time.
That's okay. That's two. They're two different people now.
But I don't think that. I mean, all the people who are waiting in line for a title shot are going to get bypassed because Pereira knocked out Sean.
For sure. It's exciting. It's going to sell. It's going to sell because it's going to be pushed as this is the guy that's going to knock off the champion, right?
And
that's the narrative that's going on right now. It's going to sell, so that's what's going to happen next. But there's all this swell about all this going on. Not so long ago, maybe about a year ago, year and a half ago now, they said Gilbert Burns was Usman's training partner.
Yeah.
There's a training video going on from when he knocked down Kamaru Usman and was beating him up in training, and this is the guy that's going to take him down.
Right.
This is the guy that's going to beat Kamaru. His reign is over. Gilbert Burns, let's go. And what happened?
He got pretty quick, wasn't it?
He got starched.
Nothing with it.
And he got embarrassed.
Yep.
They said the same thing about Cyril Gane. He's going to beat Ngannou. There's a training video out there. He was dominating him. He left because Ngannou didn't want the smoke. Ngannou went out there. He's not even a wrestler and out-wrestled this dude for five rounds.
And he did with a bad knee.
With a bad knee. At some point in time, you have to learn how to respect the champion. It's the same thing. Tom Brady, he's washed. He can't do it anymore. This is the guy that's going to beat him. And all he goes out there is win and win and win. And I say this one more thing before you go. I said that I posted this on Instagram. When the Patriots won 10-3 in the Super Bowl, They're like, this is the most boring Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life. Hey, I got a ring. I won.
Right.
The, score more points then. Make it more interesting.
Right.
Make me not have to manage the game. Make me have to go and go do something. You want AC to go throw bombs? Do what Gastelum did and go in there and go hit him. He goes, oh, I got to go fight back. I got to go hit you back. Right? Go do what oh, man, the Aussie. I'm skipping on his name right now. The number one contender in the division. In Israel's division.
Whitaker.
He goes in there and he's mixing up with him. He's like, okay, I'm going to mix it up back. If you want that kind of fight,
you got to bring it.
Go bring it. Right. Because otherwise, I'm going to sit out here and I'm going to point you up. I'm going to kick you in the legs. I'm going to slip out your punches. I'm going to tag you and I'm going to win. So I just don't understand the
You make
animosity.
More money winning. And I hate to use the word boring, but since it's been brought up, and it's not boring.
Yeah.
It's not boring.
I don't think it's boring. I enjoy the traps and the feints and kind of the chess match. I enjoy that.
I do as well. But it's still, you make more money winning boring than losing exciting.
Yes.
And it's about making money.
Exactly. This is my livelihood. It's my job. I'm not out here to come get punched out because for you to say, this was so exciting. Sean Strickland, they said, hey, don't go kickbox with the championship kickboxer.
Yeah.
Go wrestle him. He goes, nah, man, I'm going to put on a show for the fans. I'm going to go stand there and bang with him. He gets knocked out in the first round.
Yep.
It's like somebody telling Khabib, hey, I know you're a championship wrestler and nobody can mess you on the ground. Yeah. Hey, stand up and box with me.
Right.
You sound dumb.
Yeah.
And the
only thing dumber is to do it.
Yeah.
You know, one, to say it, and then to actually go through and do it.
It just sounds stupid to me. Like, you wouldn't go tell Khabib to go stand and bomb. So why are you telling Izzy to run in there blind and go throw haymakers? That's not what he does. And he's a great champion. Khabib was boring up until he fought Conor. Nobody
still
wanted
boring. Still
you know what I'm saying? But, like, he was a champ. He's the GOAT. He retires, and he's the GOAT. But when he was fighting,
he's not a GOAT.
I'm just saying, people do say that.
No, he's defended his belt four times.
John Jones
is
my GOAT.
Real named opponents.
John Jones is my GOAT.
Of course he is. He defended his belt 13 times.
But you know what I'm saying?
Time?
Like, it's when you retire, all that goes out the window. They just saw you dominate and win and win and win. But while you're there, they talk trash like, oh, this isn't fun. Justin Gaethje is so exciting. Michael Chandler is so exciting. They haven't won a championship.
Right.
But people love to see them go get punched in their face. No.
Exciting. But it doesn't make him the GOAT.
It doesn't make you champion.
It's enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
But it's not enjoyable to be in there. Michael Johnson fought Justin Gaethje.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys go out there and get punched in their face, and it's like, okay, I did that for who?
And that goes back to my point about how the game has changed. It's now about style matchups. It's about scouting reports. It's about tendencies. It's about outpointing your opponent. The sport has changed. But because Randy and I were at 236 in Atlanta when Gastelum and Izzy fought. And that was probably one of the most close fights I've ever seen, ever. And it was just, you know, a style matchup.
I was at John Jones, Gustafson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I wish.
I thought Gustafson won that fight.
I watched that fight every month.
I still think Gastelum beat him in that
every
fight.
Every month.
I still think that.
I was still at John.
Yeah. And that's when it was like, oh, John is boring and this, that, and the third and blah, blah, blah. And so he was like, okay, fine. He probably was bored of the division. I got beat everybody in here twice, everybody and their kids. So I'm going to move up. So it's like it's one of those things, like when you're so great, they just start picking and picking and picking and picking. And that's just kind
of
that's what he's dealing with.
Right now I'm going to pick us going to a break. This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. More when we return.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right On Trek adventure meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right On Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
I think Vinny said, no, I can't do a triple
the
flux
figure
capacitor.
Vinny LeCavalier from the...
oh, well.
Is this a regulation ball? Can you tell?
It looks deflated.
Well, yeah, it's deflated, like my career. But like can you tell by the texture? Is it like authentic ball? Is there a difference in the ball?
It seems like it. For the NFL ones, no, they have kicking balls that are a little bit more broken in. Other than that, no, the other ones.
They don't put them in the dryers anymore, right?
No, they have like certain towels and they do. I see like the equipment staff sometimes, they're doing something to it, like kind of getting the slick off of them.
Do you think Brady deflated this one? This one's pretty soft.
I will.
There will be no Tom Brady slander.
I will
say slander.
I don't know what I can give you to just punch him in the face. do you need anything to punch him in the face?
If you had poked me in the eye earlier, then I might have.
We scratch the cornea, then we'll go. It's like three rounds with a scratched cornea. Let's go.
I'm a little sensitive to eye injuries. I don't know if you know, but I thought you did. My son was hit in the eye with a rock.
We talked about this.
Went through the eyelid.
By the rock?
Okay. So, by rock.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you heard it by the rock. I like that. Must have hurt.
See what I got to do? I mean, 24 stitches in his eyeball.
Yeah.
And to the best of our knowledge, all it did was hit his eyelid. It didn't hit his eye.
Yeah.
And that was the damage.
And, you know, that's really serious. Like, that's bad. I have stitches over my left eye, I believe. And I was playing. We had burglar bar windows when I was in Nigeria, on the inside as well as the outside. I'm playing, jumping on some couches. I get hit. I hit into it, and I thought I was gonna be blind. I was about 8 years old. Like, I couldn't see for days, just blood rushing through, and I turned out to be fine. So I definitely understand, but that's not what happened to that guy in that fight.
But you know, look, I was at Busch Gardens last week.
Oh, and another stupid
and off
story.
Of a roller coaster, some people have been injured. Their retina has detached from the jarring and the drastic, you know, roller coaster, like the G forces. So, like, you don't know what his injury was. It could have been a retina, could have been a cornea. Either one of those are the pain associated with it has got to be crippling. Just the pain. You know, to even get a rock in your eye or something you can't see, you know, you try to wash it out.
I almost feel like
fight, like a championship level fight where someone's punching you, like, and you can't see.
I almost feel like you guys didn't watch. He didn't even like come forward and poke this guy in the eye. His hands and his fingers were up, spread open, like they were up. They weren't out. They weren't like this. Like it was straight up and down. And he literally just like backed up like this, and he was like, "Oh, I can't." And he's blinking a bunch of times. And then after the fight, he's walking around with one eye down. Like, come on, what are
so
we doing?
Do you think Aljamain Sterling? What are we doing? Do you think he flopped the when he got the knee from Peter Yan? Like, do you think he got the belt because of like, the disqualification?
No, that was an illegal up and down, and he was disqualified.
Now, speaking of illegal,
this was a no contest because he couldn't continue.
Which, to be honest, I felt it should have been a DQ.
Yeah, absolutely not.
All right, so
I'll even up in arms.
Hold on a second. So my question is, are you saying that he didn't injure his eye, or he didn't injure his eye then?
I'm saying he didn't injure his eye then. If he injured his eye, if it was that bad, it was from a punch, and the referee understood and the doctors understood that, hey, that poke didn't do that damage to him not to fight. That's why they say no contest, not a DQ. Because if he stabbed him in his eye bad enough for it to matter, I think the judges would see that and be like, hey, you can't continue.
Well, first of all, it's not up to the judges.
Not the judges, the doctor.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Well, the referee or the doctor. Referee and you doctor. Know, right.
They were there.
I just got put on. Okay. I was talking to an expert about the injury, that's all.
Okay.
And then he put me on. Go away.
Oh, do not disturb?
Pretty much.
Going back to like a downed opponent in this week's episode of The Ultimate Fighter, you could hear in the background of them saying downed opponent, but they were still taking knee shots, like still taking body shots. So when your hands are down, what does that mean, Randy? Like you can still throw body shots, but just not head shots?
Exactly.
Like, but based on the jurisdiction in what rules you're playing or what state you're commissioned by, one hand, two hands, one knee.
To the head.
To that. But the whole body is available anytime, no matter what body parts are down.
Thanks for tuning in to Knockout Radio. How long have you been on this show?
Too long.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. You know, and I still don't like that in, you know, one state and, you know, this state's rules. They need to be the same rules everywhere.
Right.
You're using basically the same pool of judges.
And the same fighters.
And the same pool of referees. And the same pool of fighters.
So how do we start that commission? Can we start like a, let's start our own.
The big dummy promotion?
I'm down with it.
Another takeaway I had from the fight. Did you catch the Ian Garry and Gabe Green fight?
I did catch it.
Yeah. Ian Garry looked great.
He looked fantastic.
Phenomenal. Like, I'm really impressed with him.
And I never root. Well, I very rarely root. I don't want to say never. Very rarely. Gabe has now been on the show a couple times. Mm-hmm. A really good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted him to win. I don't know Ian Garry from the lady swimming in the pool.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's from Sanford MMA, which is now called Kill Cliff FC.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, and you and I have talked about Sanford. You know, they don't get the recognition, and very few talk about it. And look at the killers. Usman was there, you know, until he moved out with Trevor. And now they're changing the name. I'm trying to get them some pub. Now they're going to change their name. But no, Ian Garry looked like the real deal.
His striking was so precise. Big guy for the division, I think. Great, great cardio. And like even when he got clipped, he stood in there like he was, you know, I liked him a lot. I think he did really, really well.
He talked about at the press conference how, you know, he wants to obviously be on a card in Dublin.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if a McGregor-Garry card.
Yeah.
Yeah, not obviously fight each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, card. And I'll tell you this much. I'll go to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be awesome. That'll tear the roof down. But, yeah, it was okay. So we talked about last week. The possible fight of the night. I don't know who won fight of the night. But
I'll look.
Yeah, but we talked about possibly being Robbie Lawler versus Barbarino.
Which was a good fight.
It was. So look. This is what the people like Matt would say is exciting and entertaining. They stood in front of each other and were like rock 'em sock 'em robots. That's literally what I wrote in my notes.
Aha.
They were just sitting there.
That's how you don't know me.
Each other. Like you just said, you want just
I don't want a guy at the end of his career. That's his last fight, and he's right off in the sunset against an up and coming star, like an up and coming fighter that's got, you know, his youth behind him. I don't want to see GSP or I don't want to see Anderson Silva versus Izzy. I don't want to see Matt Hughes versus Hoyce Gracie.
Why not?
Where, because Hughes just dominated him and manhandled him and just threw him to the ground.
So
like, it's they should separate it by age and
I feel like
there should be a line. You shouldn't have like the last guy's fight versus
I think it was the Lawler Barbarino was fight of the night.
Okay, so Teixeira just fought Prochazka. And he is a super veteran. He's 42 years old. Prochazka's a young guy.
They're only fighting for titles because Jones vacated and left and went away.
Teixeira won and defended.
Every time there's a light heavyweight fight, there's a new champion because no one's dominant.
He won the title and defended it. Right? You know? This was his second defense, right?
I don't think so. I think it was his
first one. I think it was
his one.
His first one? Yeah, but I'm saying, though, like he wins. He beats Jan Blachowicz, who was a good champion. He was champion for however many months a year.
I get it.
He beats him, and he goes and defends it, and he's an older guy, so it can be competitive.
I didn't like the matchup. I don't like that. It's too far of a span between where they're at in their careers.
Yeah.
Like, put them closer together, then let them go. But I didn't – there's no – it would have been Don Cerrone versus Lawler. I'm okay with that. Like, you know, both
why?
Those guys.
Just because it's two veterans?
Well, yeah, veterans that are at the end of their career. Like, let them go in, you know, BJ Penn fighting out. I mean, you know, like – let them fight people in their same age range or group.
I think those young guys see it differently because for them, it's a chance for me. Obviously, I know I'm not fighting this guy in his prime, obviously, but it's like a passing of the torch.
Right. You know? Izzy versus Silva.
Yeah, Silva.
Like that. But nobody wanted to watch that fight, really, did you?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Really?
I enjoyed it.
Izzy was just standing there like,
I enjoy the
doing Michael Jackson spins and like dance.
That's what Silva did for years.
I get it.
Izzy loved watching him, so he's saying it's like a kind of like an ode to you're my idol.
I understand.
You're somebody I love.
It's like,
so it's
like an all-star game. It's like it should be for exhibition. It should be for sport and for fun.
No,
and to get say you shared the octagon with a legend and ride him off into the sunset. I think that's a great thing that the UFC could do. You know, for just entertainment.
But
I don't think the fighters want to do that.
No.
Robbie Lawler does. Robbie Lawler thought he could beat Barbarino.
Yes. And honestly, he looked good in a lot of
And he was winning.
He was winning it. Yeah. Until he got caught.
Until he got tired.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't see that at all. And then Cerrone, like I thought he was doing good in that fight. Right? And I thought he landed that nice head kick. He just ended up slipping, gets caught, and you know. And that's the fight game, though. I just don't think.
I'm glad that he chose to retire.
Yeah.
And not because he hasn't been there the last couple fights.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said that about the McGregor fight,
right,
that he really didn't want to go out there. And Dana's talked about, you know, that he does it for the money and only the money because he needs the money. And I almost thought that he would have stayed to get to 50, just to get to 50.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he didn't and that he's going to go do other things.
Yeah, he's in the movies now. He's like, he's got the ranch. He's, you know, doing the Lions Not Sheep movement, like, you know, with Sean Whalen and those guys. Like, you know, he's got options. He's a legend.
I'm happy for him. Yeah, that was awesome.
There was another retirement as well. Brain cramp. The female that retired, Jessica Eye.
Oh, Jessica Eye, yeah.
You know, and she, which I honestly believe I broke, only meaning I saw her taking the tape off first.
Right.
And as I saw her doing it, I just kind of had that. And as soon as it hit the ground, you know, I tweeted it. Jessica Eye, a phenomenal person. Another person that didn't necessarily retire, but did you catch this? Little Bulldog?
No. Felice Herring.
Signed with BKFC.
So, yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah, she did.
I did see that.
She signed with Kevin Smith, Smith Brother Combat Sports.
I didn't know who she signed with. I know Kevin put a post up.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that was the inner.
I think she signed with Kevin. So.
But big stuff. I'm happy for her.
Yeah. It's going to be the little Bulldog.
So I've been doing my little rabbit hole dives into all the MMA.
Can you save it?
I can save it.
All right, save it. Let's hit this break so we can get it in. And then we'll come back straight to Caleb with what's on his mind. Moments with Caleb when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Curtis Razor Blades, UFC heavyweight. You listen to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah. Knockout Radio.
I told him that his form was wrong. He's gonna do that in real life. He's gonna break his back
for sure.
I mean, but speaking
back, of shins, thighs, everything.
But speaking of somebody who actually knows how to lift weights correctly, not Steve Lene. But did you see Shannon Sharp release his photo of him at 56 years old?
Yeah.
Shredded.
Yeah.
Jacked.
Yeah.
Could be the greatest physique in the whole NFL.
We do that.
History. Who's a bigger specimen?
Julius Peppers.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Like not shredded, not fit like that.
Aaron Donald has a six-pack, and he is 305 pounds.
Six-pack?
Six-pack.
Does he really?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
In week 15, he has a six-pack still. At 305 pounds. There's nobody like him.
Really?
So yeah. Ignore him. So what's on your mind?
Okay, so I've been doing
moments
my little...
Moments with Cam.
Going down the rabbit hole. Like
I've been going down my rabbit hole, you know? And, you know, doing like all these little chat rooms and stuff, the YouTube. And so there's a rumor going around that Oliveira says he's going to fight Islam, right? Not a surprise there.
Right.
But the rumor is that he'll only take that fight if Habib promises that if or when he beats Islam, that his next fight will be to Khabib.
Now rumors were that Habib said if he beats
he did Islam. Originally,
right?
That was like the thing, but he wanted Islam to get the fight.
Sure.
Now what I'm hearing, you know, from whoever, you know, wherever, is that Oliveira, it's a stipulation that you have to agree and whatever, put it in a contract that if this happens, then you will be my next fight. What
okay.
do you think about that?
Well, first of all, to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't have a belt.
But they're moving like he does.
But he doesn't.
You can say what you want, but I feel like Dana has given him that luxury.
I understand, but he doesn't have a belt, which means all the power is with Dana in the UFC. So if he refuses to fight Islam unless that's written, Dana can just say, you don't have a belt anyway.
I mean, he can, but we both know he's not doing that.
Well, I don't know.
Because if anybody else gets in that ring other than Charles Oliveira, people will be in an uproar.
I understand that. But I'm saying when it comes to negotiations, Dana has the hand.
I understand.
Not Oliveira.
And again, this is all wishful thinking. Yeah, it's just up in the air. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
And I believe that Oliveira will attempt to do that. I would be surprised if Habib comes back.
Yeah.
Because he swore he wouldn't.
Yeah. He just got the Hall of Fame trophy.
Well, that means nothing.
Oh, you can come back from the Hall of Fame?
You in any sport.
I thought you could retire, but then if you went to Hall of Fame, then you couldn't come back after that.
No.
Who came back out of the Hall of Fame and went to compete again?
It's harder in other sports because there's a longer
wait
period.
Year.
It's a 5-year wait period. UFC doesn't do that, so it's easier to make that transition.
But you could still. You're not ineligible to come back into the NFL. Could. You have to sit out five years.
Just 5 years is a long time to come back and come do this at that kind of level.
So I'm just letting you know that it can be done.
Yeah.
Going into a Hall of Fame, especially this one, that really is just the organization says, okay, you're in.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, this year you're in. You're in.
Or you get a belt. You get a belt.
Yeah.
You get a belt.
Yep. No, exactly. He said that he wouldn't. I'm naive, you know that.
Yeah.
I believe everybody, and it always backfires. I believe when he said that he would never fight again.
Yeah.
You know, because of his dad and that kind of stuff.
I believe him too.
And he seems
it's just interesting.
Like that person. But sure, I would love to see him come back.
It's just interesting. Another thing I heard was that initially Oliveira, because he called out McGregor, he's done that a few times. Obviously, he wants the big payday.
Sure.
The problem is because technically, like you said, he doesn't have the belt, he wouldn't get pay-per-view shares.
Right.
So
unless Dana decided
to give it to him, right? So that's why that fight is being put on hold. And then Volk at this press conference talking about, you know, hey, like moving up, like it's a lot of exciting things going on. It's a lot of exciting things going on right now.
Do you think if Alex goes up, he deserves an automatic title shot? It's difficult, you know, to decide, and you really don't. Even though I still think you would have a big payday and a big fight, you don't want Alex to go up and still be the champ, you know, where he is and lose a fight.
Yes.
Because then he'll never get that title shot.
Exactly.
You know?
So I think you have to.
You almost have to.
I think you have to. And then he's been so dominant in his division. You know what I mean? And so, if it would be one thing, if it was a toss-up in Usman's division for who's the best, right? If it was like, oh, you know, like, well, this guy can win it and that guy can win it, I think it's been pretty clear for a while now that he's head above, you know, he's a step above everybody else. So if when he's cleaned the division out and, like, Izzy is now going back around to his second fight with a lot of guys, I think you do give him a new challenge, and Volk could be that.
I'd like to see him go up and fight for it.
I would, because they're both fighting at supreme levels right now.
But it doesn't always work out. I mean, Max Holloway was doing two divisions.
Sure.
And it doesn't always work out.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, and what's up with your cab fare, Henry Cejudo?
Oh, my guy. That's my dude.
I could see you guys getting along.
Oh, he's the GOAT.
I could see you guys getting along.
He's the best.
This is how much they got along.
The Quad C. He's going to be the first one to have four championship belts in four divisions.
This is how much Matt and Henry Cejudo got along. So Matt picked him up as an Uber fare.
I did.
Yeah.
And drove him to the airport.
I did.
Then I saw Henry Cejudo not long after that. And on video, I said, so tell me about that Uber ride with my co-host. He goes, who? And I said, in Atlanta, the dorky guy that drove you to the airport. Some guy just picked me up and gave me a free ride. It was awesome. That's all he knew.
He didn't order an Uber. Like, we were just standing outside the hotel.
I'm following him.
He was stalking him.
He missed the bus. The UFC bus left. He walked out the hotel. He's like, I'm supposed to be on that bus. Went up to the concierge department, and the guy's like, you can't get another fare. You're going to miss your flight. So I said, Henry, I have my car here. I'm with Randy. I'm with Knockout Radio. I can give you a ride if you want. And so he was like, can we go now? I'm like, yeah. So we jumped in the car, drove to the airport. He never misses.
Matt left my brother's house to drive home. Next thing I know, he calls, hey, I got Henry Cejudo in my car. I go, why'd you kidnap him?
Yeah.
What's going on? Oh, yeah, I picked him up at the airport.
Greatest champion of all champions.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that he fights again. I think it's a whole lot of smoke
talk, which he's good at.
Yeah.
He's good at fighting. He's good at talking.
He's young enough. He's young enough. He can still do it.
He's like Dylan Dennis guy that you always see on social media.
One is a legitimate fighter.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know.
And he jumped out of a hotel with his foot on fire. Like, I mean, Henry Cejudo's the real
dude. He's a bad dude.
He's
a bad dude. I just don't think at this point that he's actively – I think it's just a drum of attention. He's coaching and he's doing well. I just don't see him.
I agree with that, except for he is training all these fighters.
Yeah.
So he's in the gym.
No, for sure.
So I think he's doing almost as much as he normally would be doing for a fight. He's in the gym with his fighters.
But did those guys ever leave the gym? Khabib is in the gym every day.
And you don't think Khabib could fight today?
I think he could. I'm just saying I don't believe he will.
Yeah. No, right.
Can
yeah.
he? Yes. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that he can still fight. You know, I just don't know. I just don't think he will.
So if Alex goes up and wins a belt, do they set up Henry Cejudo versus him for both belts?
That'd be amazing.
At the same fight.
That'd be amazing.
At the same fight.
That'd be awesome.
Throw up.
That'd be awesome.
He'd mop the floor with him.
You go in between weights, so both belts are on the line.
Yeah.
And Cejudo then wins the belt.
That's a hell of a fight, though.
They'll start calling
it. Because Henry's leg kicks his last fight were just so dominant that I think Alex could take this because of his rugby career. It's been a while. Maybe a little rusty.
6 years ago, and he's still, what, 27?
Hey, yeah. He may have to stretch a little bit. You know, warm up the legs.
If they did that, it'd be called the UFC WWE from now on.
No, well, it's
pretty, but that would be an amazing fight,
it's
though.
Pretty close to that now. I mean, come on. You know, some of the stuff, and I'll show you.
How did you feel about the walkout?
I didn't like it.
Wow, okay.
It was a cool walkout.
Yeah.
But the whole thing that Dana took away the ramp. Dana took away all of that stuff years ago, again, before your time. Mm-hmm. The ramp was awesome. He took it away because he wanted it to be like boxing and the entourage walking behind. And I thought it was a WWE-ish. And then WWE was in the front row.
Yeah.
As you had Vince, you had Stephanie, you had Hunter. And, you know, who's the punter? The former punter.
Pat McAfee.
Wearing the neck brace. The neck,
I love that guy.
So, I do, too. He's mean, we met him at the Super Bowl. The nicest guy ever. How did he get injured at Money in the Bank? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was more like a gaffe. I don't think he was serious.
No, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. No, I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I gotta go take a. I gotta go take a peek at it and see.
I need to know if what's his name? Boxing dude that everybody hates. From Disney. Yeah, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Who just signed with the WWE.
Did he?
Yeah, he signed with the WWE.
It was Logan.
Jake or Logan?
Logan.
Yeah,
Logan. Different people.
Logan looked good in his fight.
They did?
Yeah, Logan. At WrestleMania?
Have you ever seen the two together?
They're great at wrestling.
Have you ever seen Logan and Jake together? Are you sure that it's two different people?
Yeah, I've seen them. Logan is much more likable. Nah.
But I didn't like the Undertaker walkout. I mean, that's the Undertaker's thing. Like, Izzy should have left that alone. Unless you bring out Paul Bearer and actually like do it the right way.
Well, hold on. Swinging
hold on,
idiot. Paul Bearer is dead.
Bring him out.
If you can bring Paul Bearer out, that would be impressive.
Prop him up. Okay, so walk him out.
Okay,
we did it, Bernie.
So I'll
put him in the urn. Set the thing on fire and smoke out the arena.
I know. You are living in 1970s, and you don't understand.
The only difference is I did live in the 90s. You guys didn't.
I was born in the 70s. I was hatched in the 70s.
You want to see football be 3 yards of a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
You want to see guys getting punched in basketball games.
Yep.
And you don't understand people paying respects to their idols. Izzy is a huge WWE fan. He's a huge
Mark
anime
loved
fan.
It, and Mark said he loved
it. Yeah. But the difference is the WWE entertains the fans. He goes out there and bores them to death with his boring-ass fight.
Anyways.
Never put the Undertaker in that same sentence again.
So when he loves anime, he had an anime walkout. He's a breakdancer. He had a breakdance walkout. Loves Undertaker. He did a walkout. That's part of entertainment.
He should come out in a Craftmatic.
Israel Adesanya.
Like an adjustable bed next time.
He's the only fighter.
Because he's put people to sleep with that boring-ass performance.
He's the only fighter in the UFC currently that he entertains you on the walk-in. He entertains you in the ring, in the cage, and he entertains you afterwards with his talking. You get your money's worth every single time.
Who?
And the press conference.
And the press conference. Every single time. There's going to be something to talk about. What are you talking about? His nails, what he wears. Yeah.
No, look at what he did. That was as he walked out.
You see what he's doing? There's always something. He's giving you your money's worth. Tyson Fury's another one. He goes out there and he talks trash and wears a suit and is going to talk you up and down. He's going to go beat you up and he's going to go sing to his wife and the fans afterwards.
At least he fights.
Come on.
Tyson Fury,
champion doesn't fight. Stop it.
The thing that I do acknowledge about Izzy is he does all this crap and then wins.
Yes.
You can't do all that. And the one that's glaring is when Tom Lawler in Canada – came out to Hulk Hogan's music, I'm a Real American, and then lost.
Yeah,
you can't do that. You know, if you walk the walk, if you talk the talk, you have to walk the walk.
He does.
And Izzy does do that.
You know what I mean?
Izzy's the Steph Curry of mixed martial arts.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's the modern era. You can't touch the opponent. You can't hit him in the head. You can't touch the helmet.
That's an all-time great.
We can't. All time it's a different
great.
Sport now.
Top 10.
That doesn't work. It doesn't. 15 years ago.
Luckily,
Izzy doesn't win 15 years ago.
One more thing. If you don't think Izzy will whoop all those dudes
15 years ago?
If you don't think he would whoop them when they're trying
Matt
to run.
Hughes? You don't think Matt Hughes will whoop that dude?
When he comes charging
Randy,
down.
Hold on. Randy.
That's Randy's
Frank Trigg. Tell me Frank Trigg wouldn't rush that little one jab and take him to the ground instantly.
He's going
to
slip it and hit him with an uppercut.
Matt Hughes would
kick him in his leg.
Carried him across the ring and thrown him over the rope.
He's going to take one leg kick and he's going to be like, wow, what was that? His leg's going to go, no, what are you talking about?
How vicious was Matt Hughes?
What are you talking about?
How vicious was he?
Hey, this is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
We'll
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Will Allen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, where was the fight at? Where were we at? You're getting upset. He's being an idiot. So,
oh, there was a no contest. There was a no contest. I mean, it was ruled no NC.
Man, listen, he's basically, he was saying that Izzy wouldn't be able to hang with those guys in the past. And I said, fighting has evolved like every other sport has evolved.
He would definitely hang.
He would be a champion.
Well, I'm saying, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily like, disagree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Look at how the leg kick revolutionized MMA when it started really happening. And dudes' legs breaking and going numb. And guys, like, it really changed how people fought.
Okay.
Yes or no? Tell me.
No, I agree. Okay. No, I agree with you. But almost, I'm defending him a little. Not much, a little.
Get ready for this one.
Right.
Anderson Silva at his height.
Yeah.
Against Izzy at his height. And we're not even sure if Izzy's at his height yet.
Yeah. There wouldn't be one punch thrown. They're both counter strikers.
Can you let the person I asked the question
saying.
Of?
Just say.
Or do I need to turn you off? Give me your opinion.
I think that's a phenomenal fight.
No, it's an awesome fight.
I think it's phenomenal.
And I think...
That's hard.
Exactly.
It's hard for me to say Izzy wins that. It's hard. But it's hard for me to say he loses too. They're both phenomenal, and I think it would be a great... That's for me, it's like just a toss-up. It's a pick-me.
I've always said a fight that I'm looking forward to seeing, covering, being at, whatever, is a fight that I can't pick a winner. Yeah. Not that I can't pick the correct winner.
Yeah.
I can't tell you who would win that fight, Izzy or Anderson, and it's a fight I would love to see.
Because what people...
Which we'll never see, obviously.
What people don't seem to understand or watch, because they're just looking for blood and knockouts, is you have guys like Izzy and Anderson. People are throwing punches, and they're not stepping away from it. They're moving their face just enough to get out of your range and tag you and clip you. And for me, that stuff is so awesome to watch.
Unless you're fighting Chris Weidman. And then you don't move your face fast enough.
Yeah.
Now, on Sunday, we changed our flight, and I told the UFC PR, and I meant this, that I would rather go to the grappling tournament on Sunday than the fight on Saturday. And that was so much fun. I don't know if you got to watch it.
No.
It was phenomenal. Bo Nickel was in it, who's a Penn State legend.
Yeah.
On UFC Fight Pass. I know you guys don't like grappling. You even said you'd rather stand up and watch them do that than the grappling. But try to watch the replay on
this UFC what I mean.
Fight Pass.
If I go see a grappling event, I will enjoy watching you pass guard and grapple and do it. I've grappled before.
I love you using the real words. That's so awesome.
I would love to go watch that if that's what we're doing.
Sure.
But in an MMA fight, I want to see you. If you takedowns, love it. That's why the Teixeira and Prohaska fight was so amazing because it was a great combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
They stood up and traded, and Prohaska showed you he was better on his feet. And then Teixeira got him down, did his ground and pound, kept him on the ground up until the very end when he knew he was able to flip it and get the chokehold. But I want to see parity in the ring. I want to see a combination of two. But if I have to pick, I will go striking. But if we're going to go watch wrestling,
I get it. No, I understand.
I'll watch that all day.
And I'm the opposite. I want to see the jiu-jitsu. I want to see the ground game. Yep. And I like watching the striking as well.
Yeah.
What I don't like are the buffoons who boo when it goes to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, now the former, one of my favorite co-hosts, you know, who's so much better than Matt.
No way.
it goes to the ground, and he starts yelling at Akimbo Slice Fight down in Miami, stand him up. And then when they stood him up, he goes, put him on the ground.
People who are booing, period, yeah. had two people in there willing to get punched in their face to entertain you.
Right.
Like, shut up.
You know, I think that's overused, just so you know. They're not there to necessarily, even though they think they are, to entertain. They're there to fight.
For sure.
They're 100%. There to win the fight. That's what I liked about Roy Nelson. He's like, I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to win a fight.
Definitely.
And if it means it being boring to win, I'll do that. And he yes. even said that on The Ultimate Fighter. And it got him in trouble with Dana and so forth and so on. Yes, you want to be entertaining. But when they say I'm here to entertain you, are you?
When I say entertain, not do what you want me to do right. to make you happy. But you're coming, you spent some dollars to come watch an event, you know, get away from your life for a couple hours, a few hours, you know, like that sort of entertainment.
Do you think about that when you're playing? Do you think about the crowd and the fans and entertainment, or are you thinking?
No, it doesn't cross my mind.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. I love you being honest. Thank you.
He's like, I don't care if there's one person or 1,000.
What are you talking about? I got an all-pro in front of me. I got to get my job done.
And that's what I'm saying. So, you know, all these fighters, I'm here to entertain. Well, you could be more entertaining then.
Yeah.
And don't put on the fight that you need to put on. And that's why Clay Guida has changed his style. Because the entertainment was going to put him in a nursing home.
Yeah.
You know, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah. No.
I want to use that clip where he admitted, no, I'm just here to do my job. And stop also, the all-pro.
He also refused to cut his hair because, you know, it looks like he gets hit because all the sweat off of his hair.
Well, that's why he started the braids.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's not that he refused to cut his hair.
Oh,
he started the braids because of that. So.
Prochaska cut his hair, and I think for the same reason, because it happened.
It happened on the Ultimate Fighter, too.
He had the samurai bun, and during the fight, I could see it kept flopping over his face, and so he finally cut that off. I think,
there was an episode, and starting next Ultimate Fighter, I'm going to start keeping the notes.
Yeah.
You know, I write these notes, and then as soon as we have the person on, I throw away, because my wife tells me to clean the house. I don't throw away the stuff she wants me to.
Yeah.
So I don't remember which girl it was, but she cut her hair. Because she was going to miss weight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did that like 2 episodes ago.
Well, I don't know. No, it wasn't two.
It was 2 episodes. I think it was three episodes ago.
Well, 3's not 2.
Well, same thing.
Same thing.
I saw a video of Stipe, and he was doing a podcast, and they're asking him about, you know, the possible fight, you know, with Jon Jones. You know, when is that? And he goes, you know, like, I haven't heard anything about it. It's all internet stuff. So he says that he's a full-time firefighter now. And UFC is like a side gig. He said, yeah, I train every once in a while, but like I'm a full-time firefighter. And he's like, if I hear something about the fight, I will. He said he gets to his firefighting job, and whoever the head of it is, I don't know the name of it, the captain?
The captain.
The captain goes, hey, man, you need like the weekend of August 4th off? And he goes, no, why would I need that week off? Like, what are you talking about? He goes, you sure? Like, I heard. he's like, dude, like, I'll tell you, if I had a fight, but he's trying to just see, like, hey, right. Did you sign? Like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was pretty funny and pretty dope that he's doing that.
Let me get you on the schedule. And Stipe has said that, you know, when it's his turn, he's still in there cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know, that they take turns and all that kind of stuff. And I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's his job. And, it, you know, every once in a while you got to – I'm sure it's not as clean as it normally would be by, by the recruits. But I want to see Jon Jones fight heavyweight. I truly do.
I really, really do. And I think the sport misses him, man. The sport misses him. They miss Conor. Whether or not those guys win, the anticipation, the hype that goes on behind – And when you know, like, when John is on a card and Conor's on a card, it's going to be a stacked card because you don't waste those fans and those pay-per-views. So you're going to put on great fights and things like that.
As true as that is, you don't need to, though, because yeah. Conor's on it. You don't need to stack it like this was over the weekend.
Yeah.
That was such an unbelievably stacked card.
It was awesome.
And, you know, you really didn't realize. You know, Robbie was originally on the undercard.
Oh, my God. I almost forgot. The last fight of the undercard.
Okay.
Oh God, he's like 6'4", real skinny. He's fighting 135, but he's like 6'4".
Oh, the Tarantula.
Oh my.
Jalen Turner.
God, he's awesome.
We had him on in Atlanta. What a good guy. Goodness. Yeah, he is.
He's awesome. I couldn't remember his name, but that was an amazing fight. And it was one of those things where you couldn't hear the commentator, But he's talking. He goes, you know, he said he wants to find, he wants to find a big punch and land a big punch early because people aren't afraid of his power in this division. As soon as he says that, boom, big right hand, and then gets the finish. I was like, oh, it's the best 45 seconds ever. Yep. It was awesome.
Real deal. And
awesome. Shout out to him. That was the last thing in my notes.
Big stuff, and I'm excited for him, and he's a good guy. Good. I hate to call him kid, but, you know, a youngster. It was a great fight to watch.
We're all kids compared to you, Randy.
Well, that's true. That's true. George Burns is, wasn't that his name? The comedian that died at 98? He's still a kid to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. So this weekend, another UFC. It'll be good to watch that. We'll have Jimmy out there covering it, our Las Vegas correspondent. And anything in closing before we go?
Yeah, I mean, International Fight Week. I saw you guys were hanging out with Carrot Top.
Carrot Top was cool.
You know, it looks like
you know what I said to Carrot Top? So I know we only have a minute. So Jimmy went over to like his handler management or whatever and said, hey, can you come on? And then when he came on, the first thing I said is, yeah, we have a mutual friend. And Carrot Top kind of looked at me. I said, yeah, Bob Huco.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bob and Carrot are really good friends. So the interview will be played. I think we're going to play it next week.
Another great Florida quarterback, but not as great as the once Hall of Fame Bob Greasy.
I'm going to need you guys to make a list for me for notable people that did notable things after 1988. Prior to 1988, because there's a lot of references y'all make, and I'm sitting here like,
well, you just got to go to the library and look this stuff up in the Dewey Decimal System.
But Bob,
the system to the process.
Bob Huco played for the Bucs, played for the Gators,
okay.
Hooked in with Hooters. Which is needed when you need your VIP Hooters card that just came in the mail yesterday.
Hey,
we need to get you one of those.
Set you free.
I want to thank everybody who tuned in today. Please check us out on YouTube, Knockout Space Radio. We're how many? 65,000 views so far.
Or type us a letter. If you have it.
I'm turning him off. Thanks for everything. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back, unfortunately, with Matt next Wednesday. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.